Good afternoon. Today is Friday, September the 14th, 258th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt Bay Fire District Chief.
Still Chief.
Well, you look like you were reaching for your holster on your hip.
No, I don't carry a holster.
Oh.
Yet.
Yeah. Once a month for about 2 hours. Yeah. Ken Woods is alongside this afternoon. We got a bunch of different stuff to talk about. The implementation of the state fees that the governor has permitted certain jurisdictions to collect for them. Is that a fair assessment?
Not for them. I think it's just for him.
Oh, okay. Okay, a little bit more directed than that.
Yeah.
We'll also talk about, get an update on some of the fires that are going on in the neighborhood, as well as whether or not the fire stations are safe. Some of us don't know because we haven't had the opportunity to look for ourselves. But we'll find out when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 3:13. Boy, your bug friends are back.
I know, instantly.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to wonder about my health in here. They're dying.
I figure they're leaping off of you and you're getting healthy.
I don't think I brought them. They were here before I came.
Sure? All right. Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Since you've got brass and a gun somewhere that you're just not showing.
And gold.
That's gold? That's not brass, it's gold?
It's gold. Chiefs are gold.
Oh.
See?
Boy, you're
going
to
learn today?
You're going to have a tough time making it out to your rig. Intact.
<We'll see>.
Yeah. I got a little fundraising opportunity for you.
I'll be leaving now.
Our quote this afternoon comes from Winston Churchill. Quote, "For myself, I'm an optimist. It does not seem to be much use being anything else."
He was pretty good at it.
Yeah, yeah. Can't imagine some of the stuff he went through.
Oh, yeah. No thanks.
No. Kind of makes your little assessment thing look puny in comparison, doesn't it?
Certainly does. Very much so.
Like
that, but that was a different time.
Yeah, and somebody else's money. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Since it's starting to occur now, Ken, why don't you bring everybody back up to speed, refresh themselves? What is this assessment? Where is it coming from, and why now?
Yeah, the SRA fee is a $150 fee per habitable structure that's been imposed by the state of California in any areas that are in the state response area. So those are areas not in cities, but we have them in our fire district, that the state is responsible for protecting wildland fire only. So what the governor did was remove about $90 million from CAL FIRE's budget, and then has, in connection with the legislature, imposed this $150 fee. And the bills are now going out. Our constituents in Humboldt County are receiving them. And what it is, it's really a shell game at the state level. The local government fire agencies are not receiving a penny for this. The local agencies are the ones that are providing the fire protection when it comes to structure fires, medical emergencies, vehicle accidents. They're the ones that are going to be showing up. CAL FIRE does provide a great service on wildland fires. But they're not getting any extra money for this. The claim is that this is being used explicitly for prevention programs. But again, there's no new money from this. It was a takeaway from CAL FIRE's existing budget. And it really puts us local fire agencies in a tough position to ask our voters for additional monies. And you see it recently where the four fire districts were trying to be formed in Southern Humboldt. Two of those were successful, two weren't. And I don't know if those two agencies are going to be able to survive without some form of steady funding. And we can't, just like the state government, impose a fee on somebody. We need to have our voters vote on it.
So the volunteer fire departments, they're X'd out of this game entirely.
Volunteer, and so, for instance, Humboldt Bay, we don't get a penny from it.
So why is anybody calling you?
because people are confused. They think because they already pay assessments to their local fire department, they feel that they shouldn't have to pay this fee. When they call, they're getting the local fire response, and they don't see what they're getting out of this $150 fee. So that's really why they're contacting us. They're not sure what to do.
So if let's say I live in the Cutton area, which for folks who aren't familiar with Eureka is adjacent.
Yeah, the eastern side.
But not incorporated.
Right.
So if there's a fire, you respond.
Correct.
Okay. You being
24 hours a day,
fire
365
district. Yeah,
days
yeah,
a
know.
Year.
I know. You're there. Boy Scout salutes.
And always there. Right.
Flying the flag as you go.
Right.
But you're in the fire district.
Correct.
Cal Fire will never respond unless it's a...
If
it's a biggie and there's...
Yeah, if it's a mutual aid. If it's an SRA in state response area, Cal Fire will respond if they're in town.
But they're not responding to this Cutton fire.
If it's a wildland fire, eventually they will get dispatched. They'll come. But the first units you're going to see on scene is your local fire department, your local government.
How then can the state claim that this is an area that they need to take a pound of flesh for?
And that's the dilemma. This was passed final hours of the legislative session in cloak and dagger type thing. And we're really hoping that the Jarvis Taxpayers League is filing a lawsuit to overturn this. And we're hoping they're going to be successful because it's really an unconstitutional tax, in our opinion. It was never voted on. If we try to implement something, we need 2/3 of acceptance vote to have it passed. They never did that. And now everyone in the SRA area, no matter what, whether they live in an extreme fire danger area in the Sierras, Southern California, versus where we live, where it's
the other side of the zoo.
Wet on the coast. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Are paying the same thing.
So when you talk to Chesbro's office and Evan's office, what do they say?
They've tried to take some steps to have this overturned with different legislation lately, which has been completely unsuccessful. There's been a couple attempts at it, but no luck.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, as you're looking at the different challenges that are out there, I guess we had an air quality day. Was it Monday? Tuesday. I looked out, and I couldn't see, we're in the Myrtletown area, so we can see the Freshwater Valley pretty easy.
Yeah, your glasses are on top of your head.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's where that's how I know where they are. And it gives me a really neat tan on my head, too.
Magnification.
Couldn't see the mountain.
Right.
Okay. Get a phone call, then an hour and a half later, it's all cleaned out. Was that smoke from Hay Fork?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And, of course, our local air quality management looks at that and monitors that. But it was smoke coming in from Hay Fork. And it's pretty rare normally as we have the ocean breezes, the smoke is going the other way, so we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, that was just weird unto itself.
Yeah, you'll get a little bit of a different breeze, and you'll get that coming in.
It's been interesting. I would presume that people are talking to you about this kind of stuff, but we went to the Midwest and through all the Great Basin until we hit the state line between Nevada and Utah. We could see the smoke from the Lassen fires. This is bizarro. But then you start thinking all those stupid weather maps you've seen on the TV for decades, right? Gee, the jet stream. And
goes
it
and dips and comes in here. Yeah.
And it really kind of brought, at least for us, to fruition, not only how much the fire was, but how air does circulate through our area.
Right. And several fires. We've been very busy with fires recently. Things are calming down currently, but a couple weeks ago, you know, we had a number of large fires burning in the state, and that really impacts with the weather and the breeze patterns and what you're going to get for air quality.
Did you send anybody over to Hay Fork or down to Covelo or any of those
we
neighborhoods?
We did first to the Clear Lake fire, and then from there they went to the Ponderosa fire, which was Tehama County. We also had an engine doing station coverage for CAL FIRE as their strike teams and their engines go out to the fires. We will backfill their stations. So, in fact, one of our engines is probably coming back tonight from covering a CAL FIRE station. And that's a regular thing that happens.
Is it Fortuna?
Trinidad.
Oh, okay. So they get the view?
Yeah, they get the view and get to drive around in the trees a little and see the water.
Have some fun.
Right. A little different changes.
But they're not going around handing out $150 bills.
They better not be, because we don't have it. Yeah.
Just thought I'd try to segue the two segments together
good.
There for
Very
you.
Very good. Yeah.
Make it look like we know what we're doing.
Yeah, we're not the ones getting it, so.
With the last couple of months,
mm-hmm.
the amount of the lightning caused and I guess guys stupid in the woods
Yeah, human caused.
Now we're moving into the hunting season.
Right.
Where you've got more people out there exactly. in an area that probably will be a little bit drier until we get the first rains in October.
It is. Is
that a concern? Are you guys?
Yeah, it's absolutely a concern. From you put more people out there, yeah, the potential for accident, human-caused fires goes up. And as things continue to dry out, as we get further along in the season here, then the potential goes up higher. We really haven't started to burn Southern California like we normally do in October. The Santa Ana's come in, and that's the usual routine is October, Southern California starts to burn. But we've been extremely busy in the northern part of the state. And as I say, fortunately, this week things have finally started to calm down somewhat.
So as you're looking ahead at the next 2 months, obviously mm-hmm. you can't really do a whole heck of a lot in anticipation other than planning.
Right. Yeah, it's our folks, you know that they could be out the door and gone for a couple weeks at a time. And it becomes difficult to backfill with a limited number of personnel. And our folks could be working 96-hour shifts at a time. And that starts to wear on them when you're running calls at night, up at night, medical calls, fire calls, just a normal thing that we do when we're on duty. But it takes its toll after a while.
Can you then shift? I mean, we've talked over the decades about the MOUs and all the. Can you then shift the medical responses to the ambulance guys?
No.
And you, yeah. your guys,
really
kind of stay focused on fire?
Really, no, because with the medical calls, we're normally the first ones on the scene by a number of minutes because of our station locations and the number of resources we continue to have in the area no matter what. Medical calls are a huge part of what we do and the service we provide. We want to continue to do that because when it comes down to it, minutes cost for lives. And we want to be there as quickly as we possibly can and provide that service and be there to help people.
See, I can make you look like a good guy, too.
I need all the help I can get. Thanks.
Are there some areas where that does happen, though?
I think there are more so probably volunteer departments that, you know, they have a very limited number of people who are available. And when they're gone out of the area, then they're just not bodies to backfill and to respond on their normal medical type calls and calls they'd have in their area. So it is taxing, particularly for them.
Yeah. So there you are using that word again.
Which one?
Taxing.
Taxing. Yeah, yeah. It's on the mind. I don't know. I'm just getting bombarded here lately with our state buddies going at us.
Oh, is that a tax or a fee? Just for clarity.
That was a tax.
It is a tax. It's okay. Just want to be sure, you know, if we're going to be banging on the tree, it's the right tree.
They call it a fee, but it's a tax. So
that's opening up a whole different discussion area. But, yeah, I think we'll just kind of leave it where it is, go to break.
Okay. And
maybe between the two of us, we'll both forget.
Whatever you say.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back trying to keep Ken Woods employed at his job.
Appreciate that.
As the fire chief for Humble Bay Fire. Ken, some of the different challenges that are out there got to be very, very frustrating for you. And then every once in a while you get a chance to have positives.
Right.
I would think the whole, you know, don't forget to turn back your smoke detector and your change the batteries and your clocks and, you know, all that kind of
stuff.
You like that? I didn't lose you on that one, did
thanks.
I?
No.
Okay, good.
We want to, when you turn back your clock or forward, then you want to change the battery in your smoke detector.
There you go. See, I didn't lose him at all. He's obviously been around long enough to follow my line of logic.
There's people out there turning their smoke detector.
Yeah. So. I turned it 90 degrees. What's supposed to happen?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But you get a chance to interact with the community a little bit when you do your open houses, when you're doing the...
Right.
The tours and the PSAs. I'm sure you're going to send Eddie in to do some more PSAs for us on the...
Billy.
Oh, get Assistant Chief Gillespie to come in now.
And then Battalion Chief Bill Reynolds enjoyed doing one as well, so I think he will be back
Now vying for the opportunity
to we're going to spread out
do
the
PSAs. Yes, okay.
It's great exposure for them.
Yeah, that's what we need is firemen exposing themselves, huh?
That's not Sacramento.
But you do have some open houses coming up. What for?
Yeah, we have our annual open house for Fire Prevention Week is coming October 6th. It's going to be at our headquarters station on C Street. And it's really an opportunity for us to interact with the public in a non-emergency situation. They can come in and see exactly the number of things that we do, whether it be from the fire side, of course, the medical side, but also then seeing our specialized equipment, what their tax dollars go towards, the apparatus, whether it be urban search and rescue equipment, whether it be confined space, whether it be hazardous materials, whether it be water rescue, just for our guys to get to know people a little better, show them what we do, how we do it, explain fire prevention, fire safety techniques. It's a great time just to interact with kids. And, of course, all our firefighters are a lot of big kids, and they really enjoy spending time with children and teaching them what they're excited about, what it means to be helping people, what it means to really give back to the community. And we'll have a wide range of events from putting out actual fires with extinguishers to trying out some of our equipment, seeing our antiques, free food, a whole bunch of good
antique
stuff.
Antique equipment, not personnel. Okay.
Thanks. I will be there, but...
Tee it up. Yeah. Got to knock it out of the park, man.
Antique fire equipment, not personnel.
There you go.
Thanks for correcting me.
What is a hazardous material?
You know, it's really someone calls in and says, I have something out here. I don't know what it is. It could be a battery that's leaking battery acid. It could be a spill of unknown amount on the street. It could be a release of gas, gasoline. It's really a wide range of items and objects, substances that people don't know. It raises red flags, and our hazmat team will go out and analyze what specifically is there. Is it a hazard? And how to mitigate that. So we will isolate the area, keep people away from there, contain spills, and identify really what it is so that we can make a good determination on what the hazards to the public are.
Does it change? Does the list change?
It does, as we have more and more chemicals and man-made products out there. It's something there's a big learning curve on. And it's things we see differently at times. For instance, now with what's going on out in our forests, you know, we're seeing more diesel spills, chemical use with fertilizers, things like that. And
you guys are stumbling into grows?
Well,
or you're just saying big
in general.
Now you're back to Cal Fire and they're 150, aren't you?
Let's see how I worked that in there.
Yeah, but, it was so smooth, too.
But we're seeing it locally, too, with the local grows and, you know, fertilizer spills, all those kinds of things that weren't as big a problem years ago, but now they're much more prevalent, and someone needs to go out and deal with those.
Now, when you say fertilizer spill, okay, I've got a bag,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to put some fertilizer on the rhododendron.
Mm-hmm.
I trip,
yeah.
The bag falls.
Right.
Okay.
What does the bag?
Spill, big deal. Or if it's a bottle of stuff,
yeah.
Instead of getting on the that, it ends up in the lawn.
Yeah.
Okay, and fine. It's still a fertilizer.
The problem is when it spills, what it comes in contact with. Does it react with a different type of material that it hits? Then you have a gas that's comes off the product. You have a mixture of chemicals then that are causing a reaction that leads to something else. So those are the kind of things you're seeing more and more.
So even simple little goofy things like, you know, that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. So if I have a bottle of rose fertilizer and it breaks on the sidewalk,
and comes
you
in
want
contact,
to call?
It comes in contact with something else and you see a blue cloud coming off this? Yeah, absolutely.
Blue cloud is the big key here.
Well, could be a green cloud, depends on what it might be. But, you know, normally, as there are more and more products, people are using more and more types of different materials out there, the propensity and the opportunities for things to come in contact and then cause reactions are greater. So that's why we get those calls all the time. There's an unknown substance come out.
Right.
And tell
an unknown
us what
one
it is.
Versus you're in the backyard and you know what it is.
Yeah, and sometimes they are known and it's been a spill and come clean it up.
KINS, News and Information Times 342. I guess some of us just don't change our ways. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Hagee Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 346. We've got a couple minutes left with Ken Woods. Ken, there was a house on, and I noticed I say was, on Myrtle that had been, let's just call it problematic, for a long period of time, butting right up against the slough.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw it, there were a couple of fires, you guys got to go there professionally, then you went there avocationally, we saw some guys practicing.
Training, right.
Yeah, cutting holes in roofs. I thought you were going to be putting in skylights like most firemen do, but no, you didn't finish the job.
Sorry.
The whole thing is now gone.
Right.
Is that something that you guys do on a regular basis if somebody's got an attractive nuisance? Will you come in and train on it, burn the thing down, and clean it all up?
We love those opportunities to train on something real as opposed to props. There are some conditions. Number one, we like to be able to burn in places and use them for training burns, but we have to make sure there's no asbestos. We have to make sure the water runoff will not be a problem. We have to make sure that the structure is not too close to other structures around it. So there's a number of requirements, but we love when people offer up, they're remodeling or they're going to be tearing down a building, because it's great training opportunities for guys to get in and use their chainsaws, use their equipment.
For remodels also?
We're
if I'm remodeling part of the house?
Demolition work, we're happy to do that too.
Oh, really?
We can do all that.
Probably requires a permit though, huh?
Not by us, but
no, by
somebody,
the
later,
property owner. Yeah,
yeah, they're gonna hopefully do the remodel, continue with it further on.
Not an unplanned event.
Right.
And you're probably frown a little bit on us suggesting other locations in the neighborhood that you could go and practice on too.
It depends on the location, but again, it's when people call though, and we need to do our homework, investigate, make sure that we're following all the rules. But it's a great opportunity for all guys to go out and particularly cut holes in roof and practice our ventilation. It just makes us that more proficient when we have a real fire.
So call you, call Jan, call the office, find out.
Yeah, call the office, okay. And we'll put you in touch with our training officer, and he can work with you to take a look at the building and go from there.
With the fires that we were talking a little bit about earlier, some of these houses that are not occupied have got the big tall lawns. Do those ever result in fires that you guys have to respond to?
They do.
Or is it more of a vermin kind of a thing?
They do occasionally, you know, where particularly you've got the house is vacant, but someone may be vagrant staying in the house type thing, and they're using campfire to heat their food, those types of things. And we do get those fires. Not as much here, though, as in areas of the valley where the grass is really tall and really dry. And then, you know, accidental, whether it be sparks from other equipment or whatever, shooting, as we talked about, whatever it could
Shootings?
Be. Shootings? I said in other parts of the valley.
Okay.
But, yeah, it, you know, anytime you have tall, dry grass, there's the potential for fire problems.
Who does the... The code enforcement, is that EPD or is
no,
that you guys?
We do that as well. In
so
the district
kind of,
side,
you
we have
track.
Our Fire Prevention Bureau and our fire marshal, and they're tracking that and writing letters to clean up those types of problems out there.
So
it's ongoing.
No surprises then?
No.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you won't have to have any wildland interface moments in the next little bit.
That was pretty impressive.
You like that one?
That
huh?
was very good.
Well, I've been building towards it for a half of an hour, so I hope I nailed it. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day, hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.